Welcome back, everyone, to the Risk Intel Podcast, powered by SRA Watchtower, where we share risk intelligence with experts from across the banking industry. I'm your host, Ed Vinson, CEO at SRA Watchtower. Hello, welcome to the Risk Intel Podcast. With me today are three of our returning guests, Nikki White, Beth Nellis, and Kathy Jackson. Thank you very much, everyone, for returning to the show here with us today. We appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
We have talked about hidden factors with each of you in prior episodes. And so today we're going to pick up on those prior conversations and try and go one step further and quantify the cost of those hidden factories. So each of you shared with us some examples in our prior conversations. I'm going to pull those back up here and see if we can go to take that next step and help understand the cost of these of institutions running these hidden factories. So Kathy, we talked about mitigating the risk of simply layering in activities when you seek to eliminate a hidden factory. And you talked about the pre and post activities that would increase the likelihood of realizing the intended efficiencies if you're trying to mitigate one of these hidden factories. You talked about getting stakeholders to the table beforehand, getting buy-in from everyone before embarking on the project, and then subsequently updating procedures and conducting check-ins and monitoring behavior to ensure the software is truly demised and the behavior actually changes after you take a step to mitigate a hidden factory. So with that as a backdrop, can you share with us an example that illustrates where perhaps layering occurred and where we may quantify the impact of this layering?
Absolutely. It happened with the implementation of wire transfer software, an opportunity to interface with the Fed and with our general ledger and with our client accounts. And so we grab onto this, and it's a great thing. Everybody's on board. This is a great way to create some efficiencies. It's taking out entries. It's taking out so many things that we're doing. And the efficiencies were so great, we continued to look for other ways to become efficient. And so it's like, okay, then let's no longer talk to clients ourselves. Our branch people are just kind of sitting around out there. Let them take the incoming, the requests for outgoing wires. And so great idea. However, we forgot that the system could also decentralize the wire function, and those folks could go right into the system and enter those wires. The entries would happen, the logs would be created, and life would be good. And so what we did was we said, okay, branches take the wire transfer request. And so clients are coming in, they are filling out forms, they are scanning forms to a centralized email box, and now the wire people are monitoring the email box. They're making sure they get them all in. Those folks out there are creating a log over the wires and sending that log over. And after maybe the fifth time of being out of balance to that log and having to check 12 branches, somebody went, uh-oh, isn't there a way for this system to do this? Yeah. Again, we were involved at the beginning, had who we thought were the great stakeholders at the table, but missed that final step to really pull in that efficiency. Just went out of the brains because we didn't have that roadmap, right? We didn't say this, then this, then this. And so by the time we looked at it, you know, those people in the branches were probably spending an additional 4 hours a week. And not just the branches, the people in the departments could do it as well. And so to quantify that, you know, maybe it was $50 an hour, but when you blend maybe some more senior salaries in there and benefits and all the other costs, you know, you're $8,000 to $10,000 per unit messing around with that thing. And so that was a place where great start, fell off a little bit, but they saved at the end. So.
Well, that's, and thanks, Kathy. I think that, right, that really picks up on those themes of you've got to do the pre-work, you've got to do the post-work. Because if you didn't circle back around there, that would have just persisted. And so this benefit, which you had hoped and expected to have received, would have just been, you know, been non-existent because you layered in and, you know, people just developed ways to do their jobs without really having that retrospective view.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So great save at
Yeah.
the end, but it cost a little bit in the middle.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Kathy, and helping us really quantify the impact there of not eliminating that hidden factory and letting it persist. Let's keep going around the horn here. Beth, you shared an example of your chief credit officer wanting to spend more time analyzing credit risk and less time preparing and reconciling the monthly and quarterly reports, a process that entailed chasing colleagues to input data related, I think, to collateral and policy exceptions into their independent workbooks, refreshing the connections that pull that data from these contributor spreadsheets into your consolidated workbook, reconciling data inaccuracies and inconsistencies, and then pulling data from your core system into the model, evaluating the calculations, and repeating this cycle and circling back with the contributors if the results look suspicious or unusual. So will you take a shot at quantifying the cost associated with this hidden factory example, please?
Yeah, I was thinking about it when we were talking about this, and I realized as I looked back that we could have hired a part-time person because it was like 30 hours a month to do this. And you add in, the cost of having the CFO have to look at their numbers and the chief credit officer have to look at their numbers. It got really expensive. Maybe not as expensive as your wires, Kathy, but it was probably a good $6,000 a year or something like that that we were spending in time, not to mention the opportunity that we could cost of having our time sucked up, so we couldn't work on other things. So over time, it was very expensive, and that's the months and quarters that it worked. When it didn't, it really got expensive.
Well, you mentioned that I think, Beth, that when it didn't work, you might have a situation where you were in a position where, for example, you might have to refile a call report if you discovered that the data needed to be updated after the fact.
Yep. Yeah. And then you get into your accounting department and your financial statement preparation and that sort of thing. So that just adds on to the cost. And maybe it doesn't go equal dollar to dollar, but it is, there's no fine or anything, but it certainly takes time away from your accounting and finance department to have to do this.
Yeah, and then there's a question of credibility with regulators or investors or stakeholders, right? So
Exactly.
that's when you really start thinking about the cost of the hidden factory. These things just add on and add on and add on. I think the other interesting theme you mentioned there, Beth, was the idea of the opportunity cost, right? So there might be a hard dollar cost of your time, but then there is the fact that, right, is that really where you want your CFO spending her or his time on that type of
Exactly.
activity?
Exactly. So.
Thanks, Beth. Nikki, let's bring it to you to close the loop here, and let's return to your affectionately named socks in a box experience, right? When you unearthed all the steps associated with the annual review and updating of your bank Sarbanes-Oxley controls. So, well, ultimately, your canvassing the organization interestingly led to what sounded like pretty valuable conversations, which reinforce strategy and risk as two sides of the same coin. You encountered an expensive hidden factor along the way to getting to those productive conversations, right? I think you identified a dozen or so functional leaders that you needed to brief on the project, and then each of those functional teams dove more deeply into their current practices. And then finally, you circled back and debriefed with your functional leaders to achieve a final sign-off on those wonderful paper attestations, which lived in the manila folders in the banker's box beneath your desk. So let's look beyond the risks associated with that manual practice for a minute, and let's instead concentrate on the cost to administer this hidden factory. How would you quantify this?
When I think about it, Kathy's example and Beth's example lived inside my box. These were each controls and processes that we had to have those conversations with the respective individuals at the financial institution where I was. So in addition to me launching those conversations and getting those attestations, there were probably about 12 other people between C-suite individuals, third line people. And sometimes I would go to the C-suite person would then go to the third line individual. And when we think about 12 people involved in that, a couple hours each, we were looking at about a week of time, 32, 40 hours, something like that, to say, okay, what are we doing? What are we refreshing? Let's have a moment of education, of making sure that we're properly addressing and thinking about risk through the right lens, get ourselves reinvigorated, because sometimes people only looked at this once a year. But then as they were separated out to have revision, sometimes that took 2 hours, sometimes that took 4 hours, sometimes it took 8 hours, depending on areas where we had turnover. You know, as Kathy mentioned with wires, that's something that you really want to have those controls tightly documented and really well entrenched. And the areas that we're talking about are places where financial institutions will typically see higher turnover. So more education, more documentation, more procedural impact was required. So 2 hours to 4 hours to 8 hours per person turns into, in totality, 3 to 4 weeks of time elapsed as you go through this. And so with, you know, 10 of those people working on that, that turns into, you know, about 15 to $50,000, maybe, you know, 15 being on the lower end of, you have low turnover, you've got a small team, you've got people who know what they're doing and are well educated about the process of identifying risks and documenting and executing on controls. But then when you have turnover, or when you have individuals who maybe were promoted into a role or switched into a different space and need some more of that understanding of reviewing the list of controls and saying, we're not really doing this anymore, let's go back and dig a little bit deeper, that's when the costs really start to expand. So when we think about socks in a box, the range can be pretty broad, and, you know, certainly even higher than 50,000. But, you know, when I think about sizes of institutions that are executing their socks controls in a little bit more manual nature, I feel like that was a realistic range.
Thanks, Nikki. I think that that's, I think you that range is eye-opening, right? Those are real, those are meaningful numbers. And again, hard dollar costs, you know, not even necessarily accounting for the, you know, the opportunity cost or the reputational costs that we talked about in Beth's situation. So I think that, that it really drives home the point that these can really be numbers that move the needle inside a financial institution. And it is incumbent upon, you know, the risk officer to really understand what these hidden factories look like, what is the cost associated with them. So I appreciate all of you sharing some specific examples here with us. It's great to have, you know, former folks, former bankers, right, who've lived this, and hopefully these stories that you guys have shared resonate with our audience here. We're going to, you know, bring our series on hidden factories to a close during our next session, right? We've talked about what is a hidden factory, what are types of hidden factories. We talked about the risks of hidden factories, and today really put a bullet on the fact that these carry costs and how would you go about calculating those costs. Our last episode, which is, I think, the last piece to making the business case, is how do you unearth these? What are some of the diagnostic questions that you would ask and that you would use to ferret out where are hidden factories and what do they look like inside your organization? So we'll have that as our final closing episode during our next session. Kathy, Beth, Nikki, thank you very much for helping us quantify the cost of hidden factories in today's conversation. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Ed.
For more information on SRA, please visit srarisk.com. Watch or listen to our weekly Risk Intel podcast series, or follow us on LinkedIn to learn more.